What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Natalie Nichols, Education Specialist, welcome to the studio once again.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Now, we're going to be unpacking and talking about motivation and learning.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Well, it's definitely a very interesting topic, being motivated to learn. And I thought we'd talk about this because it is actually a real key driver to anything. So if we really think about when you want to do something, you need the motivation first to be able to do that. So I thought it'd be good to chat about, you know, the different types of motivation and also what influences motivation, and then maybe some tips.
Okay.
Out there who would like to have a look at how we could motivate their kids.
Now, this is good. So we're going to unpack the two types. This is, I'm reading your notes here today.
Sure.
There's a lot of big words on this page for a Friday.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I'm having trouble even pronouncing the two types. So you know what? It's over to you.
Okay. All right. So we have intrinsic motivation.
What's that?
Intrinsic.
Yeah, okay. We've got that right. Okay.
So intrinsic motivation and extrinsic motivation. All right. So when we talk about intrinsic motivation, we're talking about the internal drive to do something.
Okay.
So if you think about, you know, your internal drive to be able to get out of bed in the morning and go to work, your internal drive to want to go to the gym, your internal drive to be able to grab a book and read the book. So it's that kind of internal sense of, I want to do this. And so that's what we talk about being actually the most powerful form of motivation that we really want to have as a human, and also for kids to be able to have that when they're learning as well.
Yeah, okay.
And the other part we're talking about is extrinsic motivated. So that's when we might use a reward system. So if you do this, then you get this.
Which is what we would do for our kids.
Yes.
Generally.
Which is very common. That's right. Because sometimes it's not ways to get them to do things that we'd like.
That's right.
But, you know, extrinsic might also be understanding that, you know, if I do one thing, I'm going to get something in that return. So if we talk about with kids, you know, if you, you know, do your homework, then you can watch some TV afterwards, or so there's that reward that they can actually have straight after, as opposed to intrinsic when you've done your homework. Oh, I'm actually learning a little bit more, and I know that tomorrow it's not going to be a stressful day for me because, you know, I know it's already done and that I'm not going to get in trouble at school and things like that.
Okay.
So there's a lot of research on, you know, motivation. Lots of different theories and theorists have come up with different ideas about the sources of motivation. It's a great read if anyone's interested in having a look at where motivation actually comes from. But when we're talking about learning, the research also really does show that, you know, it's the intrinsic drive that we really want to eventually to develop in people. Because if you think about when you're an adult, what kind of motivation do you have? Are you going to be rewarded as an adult for going to work? Besides the fact you get a pay.
Get paid, yeah,
get
that's
paid.
Right. Yeah, that's the obvious one.
But, you know, there needs to be a little bit more than that.
Yeah.
And so if we're externally rewarding our kids too much with things and not explaining the process of, you know, oh, did you feel good about, you know, how that happened? And because you did your music practice, did you notice that when you did your lesson with the teacher, you did a lot better? And so getting them to reflect constantly about that, and obviously kids we were talking about before would need those extrinsic motivators, but combining them a little bit with the intrinsic at the same time, gradually as they get older, you can start to remove those extrinsic drivers, I suppose.
Intrinsic. So can you develop the internals?
Yes.
From kids
definitely.
At a young age?
Definitely.
Is that something that just comes naturally? Or what you're saying is, and from hearing, you almost have to be quite deliberate in actually the questions and the interaction with the kid.
Yeah, definitely. Look, some kids naturally, and the parents will know if their kid is an internal driver.
Yeah.
They'll know that, oh, yeah, my kid knows to do this and then this will be the outcome. But some kids might need it a little bit more explicitly pointed out.
Okay.
So, you know, the rush to do the last minute homework. Okay, well, you know, what's going to happen if we don't do this on time. We obviously didn't have the motivation to be able to do that during the week. But what has been the outcome?
Yeah, okay.
Now let's try it if we do. Now, oh, great. How do you feel right now? And how was it at school when you handed your homework in? Did it feel better? So understanding that feeling that came out of that motivation then just to be able to do that.
It's good.
Yeah. So
we'll take a break. We shall come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5. My guest in the studio, as is every second Friday, is education specialist Natalie Nichols. Back after this one. This is Weekdays with Mike, and joining me in the studio this morning is Natalie Nichols, education specialist. We're learning a lot for this Friday, aren't we, Natalie?
Yeah.
Well, I am, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are as well. That was interesting,
yes.
Understanding the different types of motivation.
Yeah, no, that's good. That intrinsic and extrinsic, and obviously our aim to develop that internal drive of motivation, because that's going to be the best outcome for us, particularly in the long term.
And we can develop it. We can actually be really conscious of it without
our kids. Definitely. And it's not necessarily just for our kids as well. This actually covers a broad area of workplace, everything.
Yeah,
obviously,
okay.
I'm specifically speaking about learning and kids, but no, it does cover a lot of areas in people's
principles
lives.
The same.
Yeah, yep.
Well, let's continue on, shall we?
Yes. So I was going to talk a little bit more about different theories to do with motivation. So there's lots and lots of different theories. So theory is basically something that, you know, someone's come up with as potentially something that could be a reason behind something.
Some expert, are you
saying?
Some expert somewhere.
They do, and lots of researchers obviously come around from that as well. And so the one I wanted to talk about was one called Bandura. So
okay.
If anyone wanted to Google, you can go on to Google and check out Bandura.
Another word I haven't heard.
Bandura.
This is great for a Friday. Keep going, Natalie. I'm learning.
So this particular man, he came up with some great theories to do with motivation, and he talks a little bit more about self-efficacy.
Okay.
So commonly it's not really a term that we use. A lot of people have heard about self-esteem and those kind of things and self-belief. But this goes a little bit deeper. So self-efficacy is the belief in your ability to be able to do something specifically.
Okay.
So we're talking about our belief in being able to read that book. Okay, so it's different to our self-esteem about how we feel about ourselves. It's the belief in being able to make yourself a coffee, you know.
Actually do something.
Being able to do, and it's aimed at a specific objective, so something that you're going to be working towards doing. And there's a lot of research is showing that self-efficacy is a real key driver to motivation.
Right.
So having that belief first and knowing that actually I can do this, and you can see that you could do this, makes a massive impact on your ability to be able to achieve that outcome.
Interesting.
And so a lot of times, you know, we might have some kids that are feeling like actually they don't believe in themselves, and we might not even know as a parent that they don't believe in their ability to be able to do that. So sometimes it's worth just checking, you know, through a bit of a bit of talking and what they call, it's actually called talking protocols, but, you know, where they actually can figure out, is it more that they're not believing themselves to be able to do that? Being able to do things like writing, can I write that particular thing? If they're feeling that that task is too overwhelming, I actually just can't do it. So therefore, we're not going to try it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What about physical?
Yeah, definitely.
You think about, I mean, I was speaking to Adrian Munro yesterday, and we were talking about Mental Health Week this week.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So we were chatting about, kids that don't want to attend sports carnivals, swimming carnivals.
Yeah, of course.
So that must be, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the conversation with Adrian. Mm. There's almost a connection there with that.
Oh, definitely.
Because the kids won't ask, I can't do it.
Of course. That's right. Definitely. And that, self-efficacy does cover a range of different areas. And that is that self-belief, actually, I just can't do that. And there are obviously different areas of where that's come from. So there are four main influences of that. Self-efficacy. So you're looking at mastery experience, which is being able to prove that you can actually do it. That's for yourself, really. Belief that someone else has the belief in you. So that kind of encouragement from others, or discouragement.
Wow.
From others. That has a massive impact. Seeing other kids do it or other people achieve that that are a similar level, and you think actually, oh, they could do it. Maybe I could do it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You know, and then if the last one is our emotions, so their emotional state at that time and the way that they're perceiving what that situation might be. So if we take it, you know, for example, you're saying about the carnivals, have a think about, you know, it could be one of those four influences that could be driving that, which are influencing their, what we call that, self-efficacy and belief that they can't run at the school carnival or they can't perform in the way that they would like to be.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk some more. I think a lot of adults can relate to this as well.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, it's geared towards kids, but I'm sure there's a lot of, as you're talking, I'm thinking it's current for adults as well. It's great to be thinking about this and putting some things into action. We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5 and this is Weekdays with Mike. This is Weekdays with Mike. Natalie Nichols is with me in the studio. We've got lots of big words floating around this morning, Natalie. Motivation and learning. I'm learning a lot, and I'm sure if you're listening, you've been learning a lot as well. To finish off today, though, you would share some tips for us today?
Yes, definitely. So I've got some tips. I've actually got five. I started with three and then I added a couple.
You keep writing. I love it.
There's
it's
lots.
Great.
There's always lots. So one of the first ones was positive self-talk. So if you can first identify that either yourself or your child is thinking these negative thoughts about being able to do something, catching that I can't do it attitude towards that particular thing.
Is that the obvious one?
Yeah.
I can't?
Yes. That's, you know, and that goes back to that growth mindset one that we talked about a few weeks back. So, and that's that self-belief, you know, knowing actually I can do this. Obviously being able to put the right tools and strategies in place too. Mm. But having that self-talk about just catching those thoughts, you know, it's this thing we talk about, you know, thank you for visiting, but I don't need you right now.
Sure.
So just getting them to understand I'm actually going to push through this and I'm going to try that. Number two is obviously encouragement and belief in them from others that they love and respect. So once we, you know, it might be your friends or it might be as a parent, your child, you believe in them, can really have a massive impact on their ability to be able to go, actually, you know, I can do this. If mum, dad believe me that I can do it, I can do it.
Do we underestimate that sometimes?
I think so.
In our busy lives, we often, you know, we're all busy, but to take a moment and to use those words and actually,
definitely.
Words are powerful.
And sitting down with them and looking at them in the eyes and saying, you know, I believe in you.
Yeah.
You know, I know that you can do this.
So simple, right?
So simple, and it can have such a massive impact.
Yeah, it's good.
Definitely. Number three was, I'm going to add another three, bit of a big term for you, but it's called the zone of proximity of development.
Wow. I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try and pronounce that. I'm glad you're here.
Basically, it just means that we're looking at the right level of difficulty. It's like the zone of difficulty. So what can happen is when we lose motivation, it's because something's way too hard. So what we need to do is find the level that's a little bit higher, something a little bit more advanced.
Okay.
So that we can achieve it. We're not going to fail.
Small steps.
Just the small step.
Yep.
So, you know, if we're finding that something is really challenging, you know, bring it down another level so that then we feel confident that we can do it. It's a little bit challenging, but we can push through that bit, not to the point of failing the whole thing.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number four, seeing others do it of a similar age,
sure.
Similar abilities. So, for example, even riding a bike, you know, kids struggling to ride a bike, go grab a couple of kids around the same age, throw them down the hill.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and just seeing the other children do it can make a really big impact on your child's ability to try something.
Yeah, that's good.
Yep. And the last one is setting goals. So even as adults, but kids can set their own goals too, you know, just going, actually, well, what do you want to achieve? Do you want to be able to do this reading, this spelling, this writing? You'll find amazing stuff that comes out of them when you start talking about what they would like to achieve.
Yeah, sure.
You know, figuring out, oh, actually, I'd like to be able to do, you know, this kind of book. I want to be able to read that and I want to be able to write a poem like this or, you know, and then just thinking, okay, well, let's put that as a goal and figure out the steps between on how we're going to get there.
Just on that, how do you, How do you talk through the difference between setting realistic goals, I guess, for kids versus amazing dreams that they have?
Yes.
You know, I want to play cricket for Australia.
Yeah.
And whilst that's possible,
yeah.
What's the strategy there?
Yeah. Oh, look, you can always have a big goal,
yeah.
I suppose. And it's all about just breaking it down. So okay. What happens is if we have that big goal and it just seems way too far away, then we're not even going to attempt it.
Yeah, sure.
But if we can break it down into small actionable steps, so you get to the point of that step where you can achieve that one. And so each time you're gradually moving up. And if you're finding that that goal is you're not able to get there, break it down again.
Yeah, right, okay.
It means it's just not achievable.
Yeah,
so making things into really minute tasks. So if it is to do with school or reading or writing, breaking it down even further. And even asking the classroom teachers if there's an opportunity to break something even further down so that your child feels they can achieve that.
Yeah, okay.
And they're not losing that level of motivation.
Again.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.